mess you up. Amen. Brand new Christian on the firing line. Come on, say amen. Listen to him testify. God's showing him things. Life experiences. God's already leading him and guiding him and directing him. And some of y'all said here, you done forgot more about the Lord. He's already learned. Stir it up. Stir it up inside of you. Let it excite you again. Did you hear how excited he is to serve the Lord? Let it get you excited again. Amen. Ain't that what it's about? Hey, when the world sees me, I don't want them to see somebody with the mully grubs or somebody's down in the dumps or barely struggling along, just barely making it. I want them to see victory. Come on, say amen. Victory. Problems, yes. Struggles, yes. Trials, yes. But through it all, victory through King Jesus. Hallelujah. I could hear the victory in his voice, couldn't you? Praise the Lord. I appreciate so much what the Lord is doing. I preached years ago on the island of Jamaica about the man sitting by the highway side begging outside the city of Jericho. His name was Bartimaeus, and he was sitting there, a blind beggar, begging as people passed by so he could get enough to help take care of him and meet his needs throughout the day. Just day by day, he depended on the generosity of the people that passed by to meet his needs. But when Jesus came passing by, he asked, "What meaneth this? Who is this that passes by?" And somebody told him, "It's Jesus of Nazareth." And that so excited him and stirred his heart that he jumped up and he began to cry out with a loud voice, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And they tried to keep him quiet. He got so loud and boisterous that it almost became obnoxious. He got so loud they tried to keep him quiet. But the more they tried to silence him, the louder he became. "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." And finally he got the attention of the Lord, didn't he? Anybody else remember reading about that? The Lord called him to him and asked him, "What would you have me to do, Lord, that I might receive my sight?" And Jesus touched him and said, "Receive your sight." Amen. And you know what happened? His eyes was open, and the first thing he saw was the face of the Son of God. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And I'll tell you what happened. He left the highway side from begging, and he fell in line, and he started following Jesus where he went. He got off the sidelines, and he got into the parade. Hallelujah. Praise God. I believe Brother Randy's marching in the parade tonight. Don't you? I don't know. Maybe Mary Magdalene was in that crowd marching through the city of Jericho. Or maybe the leper that Jesus cleansed. Or maybe one of the others that the Lord had touched and done wondrous things for. Jairus' daughter. I don't know who was in that crowd. But there were some folks testifying, "He's done something for me." No blind Bartimaeus joined that crowd. When I was a boy, I was played on a little league football team, and I was in the Boy Scouts, several different things. And I remember at Christmas time, Mom and Dad take us downtown. They'd have the Christmas parade just after Thanksgiving every year, and boy, it was an exciting time for me and my little brother to get to go sit on the sideline and watch that parade go marching by. Boy, they had the high school band and the fire engines, and I'm telling you, all kind of things that you normally don't see. But I'll never forget the first year that they piled my little league team behind a tractor, put us on old trailer, that tractor pulling us through that parade, and it was a whole lot different being in it than it was just watching it go by. Come on, say amen. A lot more exciting getting in it than just watching it go by. I believe the Lord's doing something in this last hour. I believe he's pouring out his spirit upon those that are hungry and thirsty. I don't want to sit on the sideline just watch this go by. I want to get in it and get all that God has for me. Don't you? I really do. I want to get on the firing line and let God renew my first love. Amen. When I testify, I want it to burn with a zeal the way that Brother Randy's is burning. I want it to be exciting to me again. Come on, say amen. Praise God. I tell you, some folks have sat in the church so long that hardly nothing excites them anymore. We've seen it all, heard it all, done it all, and hardly nothing stirs the coals up anymore. But I don't want to get that way. Amen. I heard an old preacher say years ago, somebody came to him, and you just got to know him. He jumps and hollers and kicks and shouts while he's preaching. And somebody told him, tried to calm him down once, said, "You're going to stir up a bunch of wildfire in the church. You're going to get a bunch of wildfire burning in here." And he just shouted right on through it, and directly he told him, he said, "You don't have to worry about wildfire. There's always enough wet blankets around the church to put the wildfire out." And that's sad, but it's true. Come on, say amen. Now, wildfire, real fire. I want the genuine, don't you? I really do. I want the genuine. But I don't want to be on the wet blanket side either. Come on, say amen. I want this thing to be real in me. Amen. Turn with me to the book of 1 John if you have your Bibles. 1 John, the 4th chapter, is where I'd like to read from. Now, I'll try not to keep you too long. I've got something on my heart I'd like to preach to us here tonight. It looks like it. We've got mostly church folks. I really felt like today when I was trying to get ready for this that I'd be preaching to the church here tonight. And I'd like to talk to us about this. And maybe the Lord will come by and help us. Amen. Praise the Lord. 1 John, the 4th chapter. We'll begin reading with verse 7. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Boy, I could probably preach the rest of the week on verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Let's continue on. Verse 9. "In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." Boy, I can feel some of you getting nervous already. I'm not going to talk about brotherly love and loving one another. There's a lot to be said in this portion of Scripture about brotherly love and loving one another. I think he summed it up pretty good in verse 20. He said, "If a man say, 'I love God,' and hateth his brother, he is a liar." That settled all of that questions that arise in our mind. I don't understand how a man can live in the same house with his wife and go weeks on end, never speak to her because they're mad. Come on, smile at me or something. I don't understand how brothers and sisters in the same family can come to the same church for months on end and not speak to one another because they're aggravated about something that happened at the Christmas get-together or the family reunion. The Bible said you are a liar if you say you love God and hate your brother. Oh God, that's pretty tight preaching. I'm not going to preach on that. I just felt like saying it. Is that all right? The Bible cleared all of that up for us. Really, what I want us to talk about here is the love of God. In verse 8, he said, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." And again, he repeated himself in verse 16. He said it like this, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." God is love. That's what I want to talk to us about for a few minutes here. If you'll lift your hands and pray for me, ask the Holy Ghost to help us in this service. Father, we love you.
Exalt itself against the knowledge of God, and we'll praise you. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name, church said amen.
Amen.
Turn around and shake somebody's hand. Tell them, "I'm glad he ain't preaching on brotherly love." Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is love. This is going to be pretty elementary, and I don't know if it'll be a Sunday school lesson or a sermon. We'll just have to wait and see. I got to thinking about this, and I thought, you know, love is probably the best known but the least understood of all of the attributes of God. The Bible very specifically said in our scripture text 2 times, God is love. Oftentimes, I feel like as believers, we forget that. And we get the mentality that God demonstrates love, God shows love, God manifests love, God extends his love. But the Bible clearly says that God is love. That means apart from God, there is no such thing as love. Amen. Because he is love. Without God, love would not even enter into the vocabulary of humanity. All love comes from God because God is love. But still, almost everyone who believes in God believes he is a God of love. Anybody, you can almost take a poll on the street or go to your workplace tomorrow. Anybody that has any inkling of a God as creator can quote to you portions of the scripture that I've read. It doesn't matter how backslid they are. It doesn't matter how wicked they are. Just about everybody in America that you meet can say God is love. Amen. And they're quick to remind the church that God is a God of love. And the scripture's plain, isn't it? It's true. It's told us twice. Once in 1 John 4 and 8. And again in 1 John 4 and 16. It said very plainly, very specifically, God is love. It's true. It's a Bible doctrine. It's something that you and I must believe. It's something that we must preach. It's something that we must accept as being true. Biblical doctrine and theology, God is love. Amen. Now, I know that we as holiness people, we kind of shy away from preaching about the love of God and God being love, because we've seen in our generation, especially here in the American church, this doctrine of God's love has made some too lazy in their practical commitment to him. It's made some too lazy in their everyday, day-to-day walk and their practice of their faith in God. Amen. Some lay back in sin and smile and say, God will never judge me. God will never send me to hell. God will never do me nothing but good because God is love. Amen. They have a mushy, distorted view of who God is. And I want you to understand, lots of times we don't hear enough about the love of God in the holiness church, and it's because of the influence of this modern liberal theology that causes many to suppose that God's love and goodness nullify his righteousness and his justice and his holy wrath. They have a mushy, distorted view of who God is and how he loves. They envision a God that is tolerant and lenient, a God that's permissive and devoid of any real displeasure over sin. Amen.
Some in our world preach and propagate the idea of a God who, without consideration for his own holiness, will simply overlook sin and accept everybody as they are. Come on here. Now, I want you to understand, when we talk and teach of the love of God, it must be balanced with his hatred for sin. Some go so far as to put it on their church sign, "Come as you are." Come on, say amen. And if I pastored a church, I'd probably never be the kind of guy who would put that on the church sign, just "come as you are." And I know anybody can come any way they want to come and sit in the pew and hear the preaching of the gospel and come to the altar and pray and get a hold of God. But you're going to call me old fashioned, but I feel like, amen, when you're coming to God's house, you ought to present yourself before God. If you're going to the courtroom to stand before the judge, you ain't going to go in Bermuda shorts and a halter top. Come on, say amen. You're going to go to present yourself before that judge. If it's that important to go stand before an earthly dominion or earthly ruler or leader, how much more important is it to come to the house of God in such a way as to be presentable in the judge and the face of the judge of all the universe? But that's a different message. I don't want to get tangled up on that. But I want you to understand, when we teach and talk and testify about the love of God, it must be balanced with his hatred for sin. The Bible is right. Psalm 7 and 11 said, "God justifieth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day." Come on here. He's never happy with the wicked. He's never pleased with the wicked. Amen. It never brings him joy, the lifestyle of the wicked. It always makes him angry. He's angry with the wicked every day. And I understand our generation here in America, for the most part, we've been weaned on "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." Amen. And we've got a distorted view of how God loves in many cases. And we think that God, amen, is just a God who just hands out free love with no demands or no requirements on the life of the recipient. But I want to tell you something, that's not how it works. Amen. The Bible said in our scripture text, we love him because he first loved us. And Jesus said in the Gospels, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Come on here. And so his love is not just a free love. It's not a mushy, distorted love. It's a love that'll cause you to live right. A love that'll cause you to serve him. A love that'll cause you to be a light like a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. His love will make a difference in your life. Amen. It'll take out your old stony heart and give you a heart of flesh. A heart that'll cause you to want to live for him. Amen. I don't want this to get away from me. I really want to talk to you about this. Amen. For this very reason, many of our wholeness people have neglected, I feel like personally, to preach and to teach the truth about the love of God. But when I read through this portion of scripture, and I seen that the Apostle John repeated himself 2 times, "God is love." He put double emphasis on that fact. God is love. It's important. Every word of God is pure, the Bible said. Amen. All the word of God is for doctrine, instruction, and righteousness. Every word of God is for you and I. But when he says it 2 times, amen, I've got to sit up and pay closer attention. He said, "God is love." And then a few verses later, he said it again, "God is love." He was wanting to emphasize, amen, place a double emphasis or make it very important for you and I to understand that God indeed is love. He began to explain himself in 1 John 4 and 10. Amen. He began to explain to you and I exactly what love was. He said, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation of our sins." Hey, that amazes me. I've got to stop and shout hallelujah. God's love is amazing to me. Praise God. When I was unlovable, he loved me right on. When I didn't deserve anything but hell, he still loved me. When I blasphemed his name, when I took his name in vain, when I would pull the blind shut and lock the door, when the preacher pulled up in the driveway to keep from seeing him, God continued to love me. Come on, say amen. Hey, when I went to all them places I shouldn't have been, and I said all them things I shouldn't have said, you know what? God's love, amen, like a hound after a coon, continued to track me and chase me, amen, until it got me hemmed up in a place in my life, amen, that I could recognize it and receive it and rest in it. Come on, say amen. God's love is amazing, isn't it? I got to thinking about what he said, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Praise God. When I shook my fist in the face of heaven and said, I do not want any, God said, I love you anyway. Praise God. When I laid out all night at the bar on Saturday night and tried to sweep my hangover off on the Lord's Day on Sunday morning, amen, God stepped out of the church for long enough to come by my place and look down on me in my hungover condition and say, I love you anyway. Come on, say amen. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Sometimes I feel like this one point is the reason lots of us get comfortable in our relationship with God, and we get at ease in Zion. You know, the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. We forget what Brother Randy's a feeling. Come on here. All this is still amazing to him. Come on, say amen. Our pastor preached several years ago. He preached a message called, he titled his message, No Wonder There's No Wonder. Come on here. And he talked about God's things ought to maintain a wonder to us. Come on here. God's things ought to be wondrous to you and I. Don't matter how long you've been saved. Come on, say amen. I read about how you want to pronounce it. I'll call him Uzzah. He was raised in the house, amen, that housed the Ark of the Covenant in the Old Testament. And if I read that just right, if I studied that out right, he could have lived around that Ark of the Covenant for 20 years. 19 or 20 years. He is raised in the presence of that Ark. When David showed up with his new cart and his oxen, and he took that cart toward Jerusalem. You remember reading, amen, the ox stumbled, the cart tipped, and Uzzah put his hand out to steady the ark, and he fell dead. Come on. Hey, we thought that's a harsh punishment for somebody that was trying to do good. Hey, but the law said Uzzah couldn't touch it. Uzzah couldn't handle it. Come on here. Uzzah could not lay his flesh on it. It was holy. Amen. It represented the very presence of God in Israel. Amen. You had to be sanctified, anointed. You had to be separated and set apart. Amen. To handle holy things. But Uzzah had been around it so long, he got used to it, and it lost its wonder. It lost its magnificence. Come on now. Hey, church, don't ever get to the place where you take the love of God for granted. Don't ever get to the place where you lose the loveliness of the love of God. Hallelujah. God is love. I think about all the times I've floundered and flopped, all the times I've struggled and stumbled. And again, I don't want you to misunderstand me. I don't want you to think I'm preaching a weak gospel. But I'll tell you something. There's been a time or two or three or four, you're looking at a fella that's missed the mark since salvation. Come on here. I'd like to stand up before you and tell you I've always been perfect. Amen. That just ain't how it is. Amen. I'd like to tell you it's always been mountaintop to mountaintop. I'd like to tell you I've always stood over the dead giants in the valley of Elah. But that ain't always been the way it is. Come on, say amen. There's been times he said, get up and pray, and I just laid there. Come on, there's been times he said, push your plate back, and I kept right on eating. Come on, say amen. I'm not proud of that. I'm not glorying that, not advocating that. None of us should ever be that way. Come on. But I'm telling you, when I think about all the times I've missed the mark, all the mistakes and blunders I've made, all the times I've just simply have no other better way to put it, I've simply disobeyed his voice. Amen. And I read 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he first loved us. I shout hallelujah. God's love is still amazing. Still amazing. You know what? He's whipped me. He's corrected me. He's chastised me. But even then the Bible said he chasteneth whom he loveth. It's all for my benefit. You know why? He loves me. He loves me. And he loves you too. In this was manifested the love of God toward us. He showed us how much he loved us. In verse 9 of our text. Because that God sent his only begotten into the world, that we might live through him. Did you hear it? In this was manifested. In other words, God demonstrated his love toward us. Amen. Well, that's how another writer said it. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John said, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. I want you to take a good hard look at who you were when Jesus found you. Amen. Listen, we sing a song, since I found the Lord and found the church. I'll tell you, he's never been lost. He found you. You was the one that went astray. You was the one that was lost. He came to where you was. Come on now. Hey, and when he found you, take a good long look down memory lane of where you was and the kind of shape you was in. It doesn't even matter if you was raised in a holiness church. You had to get saved just like the vilest sinner that came out of the world. The Bible said you must be born again. And in order to be born again, you've got to come to grips with the fact I'm a sinner on my way to hell, and I need God. I need the blood of Jesus to wash me. Hey, remember where you was when he found you. If you ever told one lie, that made you a liar. Hey, come on. If you ever stole one piece of bubble gum, that made you a thief. Come on here. Remember where you was when he found you. But you know what? He didn't thump you in the head and kick you over into hell. He rescued you from the power of sin that held you prisoner. He loved you out of your transgression. He loved you out of your iniquity. He spared you through the power of his great love. We've often preached as preachers that God demonstrated his greatest demonstration of his love for mankind. The portrait was painted on Calvary as Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, hung there between heaven and earth. Amen. And bled and died for your sins and mine and the sins of all mankind. What a picture of love. Praise God. And we didn't deserve it. We never earned it. We never merited it. I told you it's going to be elementary, but that's what I felt like preaching to us. We didn't earn it. We didn't merit it. Come on, say amen. There's a move on. And God, help me right here. I got to thinking after I left last night. I made a statement last night about sometimes our teenagers go to these youth camps and they feel all these feelings, you know, and get all stirred up. And a few weeks later, they're right back. I don't want anybody to think I'm against youth camps or I'm against youth camp preachers or I'm against the teens going to youth camp. I'm for all that. Come on, say amen. But I want you to tell me, you got to get anchored and established and get more than just a feeling. Can you say amen? Amen. I got to thinking, you know, about the love of God and how God's love has kept me. Amen. Even in times in my life when it looked like I was trying to wiggle out of his hand, wiggle out of his care, wiggle out of his keeping power. Amen. His love rescued me and kept me rescued. His love kept me on the solid rock. Praise God. How wonderful he is. How wonderful his great love is. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 63:3. He said, because thy loving kindness is better than life. David said, your love is better than living. Hallelujah. Amen. In Psalm 86, he said, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. He said in Psalms 36, how excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. In Psalm 69, he said, hear me, O Lord, for thy loving kindness is good.
Amen. Hallelujah. Y'all sleep? You still awake? Look over at somebody and tell them Jesus loves you. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He loves you. Now look at somebody else and tell them Jesus loves me. Yes, he does. He loves me. Praise God. You know what? That's going to get me to heaven, Brother Randy. Many times, I was going to say this many times, talking about them teenagers. There's a move on among us. We're in a time in the wholeness church when you no longer have to, amen, to be right, you know, live right to be right. As long as you look right, everybody assumes everything's okay. But I'll tell you something, it's not you stopping cutting your hair, sister, that's going to get you a place in heaven. It's not wearing long sleeves that's going to get you there. Come on, say amen. It's not the places you abstain from going that's going to get you to heaven. Come on, say amen. Amen. You're going to have to depend on the love of God. Herein is the love of God, not that we love God, but that he first loved us. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, he loved you when you was down at the lake in your bikini. He don't love you any more now than he did then. He loves you. Come on. But his love in our life, his love shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost ought to make us live right. Give us a desire to live right. Give us a desire to please him and to serve him and not to bring a reproach on his good name. Hey, but I want to tell you something. We can have on the uniform and still not have the heart for it. Amen. Ain't that right? You got to do more. I was in a place not too long ago, man, and I about got in trouble. I tell you, I was in one of them super duper strict places, you know, where you can't do this and you can't do that. And I'm telling you, most of them's afraid to even smile. I'm beginning to wonder if some of y'all ain't feeling that way. Hallelujah. Some of them's afraid to even smile, you know, wondering if it's sin or not. Amen. It's all right to smile. Hallelujah. It's all right. A merry heart doeth good like medicine, what the Bible said. It's all right to smile. And I was in one of them places, you know, and I got to preaching along them lines, you know, and I years ago they accused me of being a clothesline preacher in the Church of God. And I just waded out in the middle of them super duper strict folks, you know, and I got on their clothesline, and then I told them how unimportant that was. How easy that was. And how even the Mennonites and the Amish can do that. Come on now. Don't take nothing special to dress right. All you got to do is just buy the right wardrobe. And there's lots of people who have tricked a lot of wholeness folks into believing everything's all right. Just look at me. Come on, say amen. But I want to tell you something. Oh God, help me right here. I started working on a sermon today, and I don't want to mess it up. I might preach it for the end of this meeting. I'm going to preach on religious hell. Come on now. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Come on, say amen. They was praying, Lord, Lord. You know, they say the worst deception that you can have is self-deception. There's a lot of people that deceive themselves into believing all is well. Now preach to that super duper strict crowd. Listen, if you got the kind that started on the outside and worked its way down to the inside, you need to trade that off and get the right kind. You got to get it on the inside first, and it's got to work its way to the outside. Come on, can you say amen? A seed is always planted inside something, down in something, and it grows to the outside. Come on, nod your head. Give me a good Baptist amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, amen, too many times we pretend as if all is well because of how we look and how we dress and our faithfulness to church or our tithe that we pay. Come on. We'll slap the preacher on the back and tell him how good he preached all the while, knowing we're not living up to one thing that he's preached to us tonight. Come on here. I'm telling
telling you, this love of God will cause you to love your brother. It'll cause you to love God. It'll cause you to love your enemy. Come on, say amen. This love of God I'm preaching about tonight, it'll change every aspect of your life. Every aspect of your life. Amen. When my dad-in-law was backslid, and he was very, very prejudiced against colored folks. And I have a missionary work in Africa. I try not to be prejudiced. Hallelujah. I felt a mean streak one time, told my interpreter over our missionary there, got a car. Lord blessed us, helped him get a car. First car he ever had, 30-something years old before he ever had an automobile to drive. And I felt a mean streak. I told one of our board members, which lives in South Carolina, I said, I'm going to go get him one of them horns that blows Dixie. Hallelujah. So he can drive around blowing Dixie in Africa. I chickened out. I wasn't bold enough to do it. I didn't do it. Hallelujah. But smile, somebody. It'll be all right. It won't hurt you. Amen. But I try not to be prejudiced. But I'll tell you something. That lots of people will miss heaven because of their hang-ups and their prejudices. Come on, say amen. Jesus, the Bible said, must needs go through Samaria. Even the Samaritan woman was astounded that he would take his time as a Jew to talk to her. She was considered a mixed breed, a half breed. A dog is what the Jews thought of the Samaritans. They were no better than dogs that roam the streets and eat out of the trash piles. Come on, say amen. But Jesus saved her. Give her living water. Can you say amen? Oh, yes, he did. Give her living water before it was over with. And I got to thinking about, amen, we love him because he first loved us. And listen, I got to thinking about if we can't love our brother, if we hate our brother whom we have seen, then how can we love God whom we have not seen? And the scripture previous already taught us that no man has seen God at any time. We've never seen him, but we say we love him. But we see our brothers, our sisters every day, and we hate them. Come on, say amen. I'm telling you something. Listen, everybody ain't just like I am. Everybody ain't just like you are. Amen. There's cultural lines and cultural differences. Don't tell you can't hate a man because the color of his skin or the texture of his hair. Come on. You can disagree with him for his political stance. You can disagree with him for his religion. Come on. But you can't hate him just for the fact of where he was born or what language he speak. Come on here. Are you going to help me? That love of God, when it gets way down in your heart, the songwriter said it'll make you love everybody. I said it'll make you love everybody. That's the kind I want, way down deep inside, the kind that'll make me love everybody. I won't tell you, I'm from North Carolina, but I'm south of the Mason-Dixon line, and there was a time that people of my good state wouldn't have much to do with you all up here. And hatred ran very deep. Come on here. There was a time that folks in the good state that I was born and raised in, they had their workers desperately trying to get to the Ohio River to make the crossing. Come on, say amen. Amen. And folks in the Carolinas and Georgia and Florida didn't appreciate you folks opening your borders and just letting them come on in. Come on, say amen. Hey, come on here. As a matter of fact, it caused quite a controversy. We call it the Civil War. Hallelujah. That's right. Amen. And I'll tell you, we have moved on past that. Come on, say amen. We've moved past that as a nation. We've moved past, listen. Oh God, help me right here. I'm getting too deep. I feel like I'm digging a hole. I'm going to dig as deep as I can, see if y'all help me get out of it. How's that? Somebody throw me a rope if I get too deep, all right? Amen. I mean, just a few short years ago, that's how it was, right here in the land of the free and the home of the brave. And now, listen, everybody talks about having a black man in the White House. We forget he's half white. Come on, you never hear anybody say anything about that. But we've come a long way, hadn't we? Come on, say amen. We've come a long way. Hey, I'm telling you, the only way we've worked through those prejudices here in America has just been by natural means. It's just been the natural state of things. Men have just changed. It ain't the love of God that's caused people to be like that, because the majority of our nation don't even live for Jesus. Don't even worship the God you and I are here to worship tonight. Hey, if men in a natural progression can make that big of a change in a nation like America without the love of God even being in their heart, then how much more of an impact should the Church of Jesus Christ that has the genuine love of God inside of them be able to make in a world filled with the ungodly? I'm telling you what we ought to be doing. We ought to be turning the world upside down with this love of God. We ought to be pulling men from the fire with this love of God. Amen. We ought to be making a greater impact with this love of God. Hallelujah. But we allow the same prejudices, amen, that's in the world to get in the church. Amen. It ain't just a black and white thing. Come on, say amen. I just used that for an example, but I want to tell you what God did. God looked down on all of us, and he seen us all in our iniquity. Amen. And he sent his only begotten son, the very best that heaven could afford. And before he ever sent him from glory to be born in a stable in the city of Bethlehem, he knew that he would give his back to the smiters, his cheeks to those that would pluck the hair from his face. He knew they would spit upon him. He knew they would reject him. They wouldn't rejoice when he came. Amen. He knew they would nail him to a cross where he'd bleed and die. Amen. But he sent him anyway. Come on, say amen. He sent him anyway. Hallelujah. Sometimes I feel like we forget God is love. And I'm just about finished. And I just wanted to remind us as the church about God's love. I found a song on page 220 in our church hymnal, a very popular song. As a matter of fact, if you look at the fine print at the bottom of the page, it said that the third stanza, the last stanza of the song, was found penciled on the wall of an insane asylum where a man was kept who was thought to be demented or insane. He was a lunatic, or that's what they thought. But F.M. Lehman got the song, and he put more words to it, and he put music to it, and it became, I guess, one of the most beautiful songs in all of the church hymnal, in my opinion. Now, I'd like to read the words of it to you and just share it with you. Listen to what it said. He said, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God sent his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When hoary times shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray, on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Listen to what the lunatic man wrote. They supposed he was lunatic. I feel like he probably had a hold of it when he wrote this. He said, could we with ink the oceans fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. O love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. We love him because he first loved us. Would you just lift your hands and give him an offering, a love offering right here of praise and thanksgiving. Oh, we love you, Lord, because you first loved us. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you for your great love wherewith you have loved us. We glory in your love tonight, Master. We bless you for your love. Your loving kindness is better than life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Hallelujah. Praise him, somebody. Thank him and praise him for who he is and how he's loved you. Praise God. Glory to God. Glory to God. God is love. Would you stand with me all over this place? As a matter of fact, let's all that will, let's just come gather in these altars. Spend a little while praising him and thanking him for his love. If his love has touched your life, why don't you come praise him for it? Come thank him for it. Come bless him for it. Hey, if you need a healing, if you need a miracle in your life, if you need God to touch you, it'd be a good night just to come gather in these altars. Praise him a little while for his love that's touched your life. Ask him to heal you. Ask him to help you. Maybe you need some hope or some victory, some power to touch your life. It'd be a good night to come ask him for it. Come on, let's glory in his love tonight. Hallelujah. Let's worship him for his love. Let's praise him for his great love. Hallelujah.